The challenge for the actor is to use sense memory of childhood trauma. The actor must deploy the tortures and dig into the unconscious. The challenge for the actor.
Never ever try to enter a train. Let Stanislavski be your umbrella.
Mumble your words.
Unless they're
Stella!
Use justification, improvisation, plus some emotional masturbation.
Visitor from the western coast.
Can you dig it?
I dig it the most.
Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of the Smashcast, a podcast about NBC Smash. I'm Dan.
I'm Clara.
And I'm Taylor.
Are we really keeping that?
That again.
What happened?
Taylor's just like squatting on the floor. She refuses to. You want to just move to the bed? Yeah.
And today we're talking about episode 10 of Smash entitled The
Poor
Movie
Delia.
Star.
Sorry, Dan, that was not my fault.
Yes, it was. Clara can't keep a straight face.
I blame Clara.
More comfortable. We would have had to move soon.
All right, by the way, we're keeping all of that, so moving on.
Wait, what?
We're going to keep all that.
No.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of the Smashcast, a podcast about NBC Smash.
I'm Dan.
I'm Clara.
And I'm Taylor.
And today we're talking about episode 10 of Smash entitled
The Movie Star.
Yay. All right. So we're going to get right into things. We don't have any reader email again, which is again sad. So send us reader email. We did get a significant amount for our other podcasts. So maybe people just felt like sending it to there that time. But because of that, and also I guess because I don't really have a whole lot to say on this episode, this is probably going to be a slightly shorter episode than some of our other ones. Because I don't think we're going to ramble on about nothing like we did last time, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, so one thing we did talk about last time was whether this season really was going to be only 15 episodes, and as you can see from the promo for next week, it definitely is only 15 episodes for season one, so, yeah. What?
I said boo.
Boo.
You said eh. I did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not anti that. I mean, I usually think smaller seasons are better because then there isn't as much filler in there. But
That's a good point.
I mean, it seems close to a cable show, and most cable shows are 13 episodes. So
definitely, actually, feel that way about Smash. It feels like it's more of a good fit for like HBO.
Yeah, or maybe like Showtime or.
Yeah, Showtime. Yeah.
All right, so let's just get right into the episode. What did you think of the movie star?
I'd give it a B+.
Okay.
Or A-.
I say B+.
All right, I gave it a B. And I mean, I'm totally open to a B+, too. It wasn't, like, the worst thing ever. It was just, like, it was kind of not as exciting as the last couple have been.
I think that was mostly due to the music.
Yeah.
Which was funny, because the whole episode was about, like, oh, yeah, well, the scenes are great, but the music's kind of boring. Well, I mean, that's what Rebecca was saying, and
yeah.
That felt about this episode, so. And.
But I also, I'm not a fan of Rebecca, her involvement, or her addition to the show, so, like, I was just kind of, like, eh about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're supposed to be, like, gung-ho for her anyway. I mean, not the character, but
yeah.
I think the role she really fills is getting Karen and Ivy together. And that is, I think, being handled really well.
Yeah.
So that's all I really care about.
Yeah. I think my two favorite parts of this episode were the Karen and Ivy stuff and the Tom and Sam stuff. And I thought both of those were handled well.
Yep.
And then Julia, I actually think wasn't perfect in this episode, but she's on the road to recovery.
We agreed.
You agree?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I definitely thought that all her Frank stuff and stuff with her son was a lot better than what we've seen in the past. But at the same time, okay, so maybe, was this just me, or how did you feel about her setting Tom and Sam up?
It was fine.
It annoyed me.
It felt like it's something that could be reminiscent of, like, the friendship that she's had with Tom in the past, like,
mm-hmm.
We're supposed to take it at face value that they have this huge history of friendship. And, like, in this episode, she sets him up with Sam, and, like, they're constantly laying on couches together. Like, I don't know. She's acting a little bit too cool considering what she's been going through, but like, yeah. I think that's the only problem.
My issue with her setting them up was like, to me it felt like they were trying to get me to be like, oh, this is a cute moment with like her being like a friend and like pushing them, these two people who are stupid and not just going for it together. And I was just be like, oh, good job, Julia. Instead of just like, the way she did it was just very like harsh and just very like annoying, and it was not appealing to me. Like, she wasn't sweet or cute about it. She was just like, you guys are doing this.
I liked it. Yeah. Like, I like that they are not like sweet, cute friends. They just sort of have a very good, like, push and pull kind of relationship. Which...
Wait, sorry, you got caught off a little bit.
Oh, I like that they don't get along all the time, or like she pushes him.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. All right. Do we want to talk in depth about Rebecca? How did you feel about how she was handled and all that stuff?
I mean, I was glad they didn't make her just the predictable, like, drama queen, like, prima donna leading lady, by making her no-nonsense and... You know, she knows she needs a vocal coach. Like, she knows the songs need to be lower.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, she's a little bit, like, flighty and not quite all there, but definitely, I mean, professional in her unprofessionalism.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they definitely are, like, they're trying, they're, like, kind of giving a mix of different sorts of personalities, and she does sort of seem like a real person to me because she's so sort of complicated.
Yeah, she seems like she could be a real person. I hope they don't spend too much time on her character development, honestly. We already have so many characters, so I think what they've done with her in this episode is good. And I think she should really mostly just be a foil, and she should be someone to move the plot along, but not really a main character.
Yeah. Can I ask, how do you feel about, like, the decision to have her? Like, do you think that... Like, it's a wise business decision? Like, are they making the right choice to use her?
I think, I mean, I actually feel like it kind of depends on just how famous Julia and Tom really are.
Yeah.
If they're as famous as they're sometimes treated, then I don't think it's necessarily, like, if Sondheim wrote some musical, it wouldn't be like, oh, but you need to have a movie star play the leading role, you know? Yeah. That's on the one side. On the other hand, if they're just like, they're definitely really good and acknowledged to be very great writers, but they aren't like, you know, household names, then yeah, maybe they should get someone really famous if they can do it.
They also have the brand of Marilyn Monroe, though, and I feel like if, like, it's known, like, if, I guess, unless people are just like, Ivy isn't good enough, but, like, I feel like if there was a Marilyn Monroe show made by, like, credible writers, and people are like, wow, this Marilyn person's really good, I feel like that would be enough. Like, you don't necessarily need there to be a star in addition.
Maybe a Broadway star.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused by, is that if Tom and Julia are supposed to be so well-known and, like, great, then, yeah, wouldn't you think that they'd want to get a Broadway star?
Yeah. Yeah. Equivalent of who Megan Hilty kind of is now, like, or Kristen Chenoweth a few years ago.
Yeah. And I don't really, I mean, I don't really know how the system works in the real world, but I feel like it was really weird that they didn't have her sing before they, like, signed her up for this. Like, I mean, you're just going to hear them say, yeah, she can sing, and then be like, okay, we're going to make her entire musical based around her. Like,
I think it's wise of them to at least consider this. I mean, I think that they're in a sticky situation financially, and they need to just sort of, I mean, it's not like they're putting all of their eggs in one basket with Rebecca. I mean, they still have Karen as the understudy, and definitely they still have Ivy. So, like, I don't think it hurts them to bring her in.
I'm trying to remember, what is Ivy's role now?
Now I think she's just in the ensemble.
Okay, and why did they bring her in?
Because Derek...
Yeah, and I really liked that Derek sort of stood up for
her. Oh, no, you know why? Because they were like, okay, in addition to having Rebecca be Marilyn, we want to have, like, people be, like, more singing roles.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they sort of take our idea of like Norma Jean is?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they took that.
It was like ghost songs or something like in Marilyn's head. So I think Ivy's role is to be like to support her vocally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same with Karen. Being the understudy.
It's funny to me because it sort of reminds me of like the opposite of what happened with at the beginning when Ivy was the lead and Karen was singing too loudly in the background, and now they're like, Karen, sing really loudly in the background. It's interesting. What do you want to head next? What character?
I like the sound of the dev story is so annoyingly predictable.
Yeah.
Not what else I have to say about that. Oh, but you had a point. When they showed him in the bar.
Oh, yeah. When they showed him in the bar with the reporter chick, there was no dialogue. And at this point, I'm thinking that the writers are on our side. because, I mean, the show is being branded as kind of like a show about Catherine McPhee, but only someone who is not watching the show could think that at this point. Because I think she gets less screen time than other people, and like the dev thing is really being pushed to like minimal screen time, which I like.
But at the same time, like, okay, it's kind of a give and take, because if they gave him more screen time, then maybe this would not be as predictable and basic as it is, and maybe it'd be more interesting. But just like, I don't like the character to begin with, so it's like I'm kind of okay with them not giving him more time. So, like, I don't really know whether I would say that it would be better to give them more time or not. But the way we leave them at the end of this episode is that Karen gets home and he's not there, right? And he's with the girl.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's what you said about how, I mean, they're living together or anything, but I'm just, like, confused as how the storyline lasts four more episodes.
Well, we'll find out.
I guess so. Okay. And do you want to talk about Ivy and Karen?
Yes, it was handled well.
The FFL.
I think Ivy's really good for Karen. She seems to, you know, she doesn't take her shit, and she's like, you need a thicker skin, and that made a lot of sense.
I loved them at the bar together.
Yeah.
It's not that they're best friends all of a sudden. It's that now they have Rebecca to sort of co-dislike, and that's a really good scenario for them to be in. And like, Ivy doesn't want to be Karen's best friend, and Karen, I think, is still afraid of Ivy. But now they're beginning to have a really, like, beneficial relationship.
Yeah, no, this is one of the best. I mean, it's being handled very well, because they really could have easily gone with the, they're just, oh, buddies now, or, you know, just be enemies for way longer than they should have been, or
have a nice heart-to-heart and suddenly understand everything about each other.
Yeah, because, I mean, I like that even in the case of this episode where they were mostly buddy-like with each other, I mean, it ended with Ivy annoying Karen and Karen walking off, and then Ivy being annoyed that Karen walked off. Like,
My gosh. And when Ivy was just like, you're going to have to pry that part out of my cold, dead hands, I was just like, yes, exactly. Like, they're not beating around the bush. Like, they're acknowledging that they have, like, interests that are against each other, but they also can, like, laugh about it.
Mm. And then Derek, why does he have to have these stupid fantasy sequences with Karen that happen too much?
I agree. I think you liked it more than I did, Taylor.
I didn't like it.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Because when I was like, ugh, this is annoying, you were like, eh.
Oh, the song was really boring. I mean, I understand why they do it. I just think it's dragged out. Like, if he had started to imagine her singing and then it had cut off, I would have been like, ha ha ha, great.
Yeah.
But they played the whole friggin' song.
Well, I also just like, I got the point. We were already saying last week that we had got the point too much and that they hammered it in too much. So I didn't need it in a second episode with the whole song. Like,
also, Karen is such a skinny Marilyn.
Yeah.
It kind of, that shouldn't bother me as much as it does.
Yeah, it actually bothers me less now than it used to, but yeah.
It bothers me more now that she's not like singing Marilyn-y type song. I don't know. That song didn't even feel Marilyn to me.
It was like friggin' reggae. I'm like, yeah. What are we at the beach? We are in New York. It is bleak. It is dreary. She's dressed in some weird like 40s getup. Why is she singing Bob Marley songs? I don't even know what the song is.
It's not Bob Marley.
I know it's not. I feel like this is like the Keys or something.
No, it was like something. I'm gonna look it up actually. I just looked at it recently.
Holiday Will Come.
It's yeah, but then it would say something like The Romances or something weird. Like, let me look it up.
Whatever. It's dumb.
It's by Ruby and the Romantics.
Ugh.
Whoever they are.
My least favorite band.
Oh boy. Oh, it looks like next week is only originals, so that's cool.
Yes!
Oh my god, one of the people singing is Dev, though.
No!
That's making me like his character more.
What? Sorry, you cut off again.
Why is he singing an original song?
I don't know.
Maybe he finds
original sheet
music. No, maybe he finds original sheet music on Karen's bedside table. And it's like, the lyrics are all about how she has fantasies about a British man on the Brooklyn Bridge, and then she'll come home and find him playing guitar, singing songs.
Well, sorry to burst your bubble, but it's Dev, Karen, and the ensemble singing together.
No!
So much for us being like, I don't think they really care that much about
maybe
Dev.
Maybe he's the new DiMaggio.
Oh my god.
I might start just crying.
P.S. I'm a good singer.
You know what I think it's gonna be? I think it's gonna be the ensemble singing a song, and then it will cut to like Karen and Dev like having a fantasy thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe there is a new DiMaggio, but she projects Dev's image onto him, just like how she gets projected as Marilyn Monroe.
Sure.
I want Dev to be dressed up as Marilyn Monroe.
The 20th century Fox Mambo.
You know, we haven't had Dylan on here in a while, and I want to know what he thinks of Dev nowadays, because she used to love Dev so much, and I haven't heard her.
That's for tomorrow on the other podcast.
Yeah, I'll have to.
Right now, she's busy watching Angel.
Everyone should watch Angel.
Just not the episodes that you guys are watching.
Yeah,
okay. All right. So, I mean, aside from Derek's fantasy thing, I did, like, as we already talked about a little bit, that he defended Ivy and was trying to promote her. That was very sweet and nice. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about Eileen?
She's cool.
She is cool.
When she pulled out the mace, I was just like, yes.
I agree completely. I thought that was really cool. The scene itself felt very weird to me. Mm-hmm. It felt, like, very rushed, and people got, like, really upset at, like, really quickly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it felt weird, but it was fine.
It wasn't terrible. I just felt
it was only like 30 seconds. So.
Yeah, that's why I felt weird about it.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my god, this dragon. He's like, because he wasn't even like doing anything, and like he was just like walking around. He wasn't like shouting or like rushing at her or anything. Like, he was just like, I'm here, and like, I mean, I feel like. Like, Ivy was worse than that when she was on her pills, and, like, I don't know. Yeah. All right, but then, so Eileen had that whole story where she was looking into the guy whose name I still don't know.
Nick.
Is that his name? Mick?
Yeah, Nick.
Okay. Nick?
Nick.
Okay, not Mick.
Not Mick.
I mean, I think that's good.
It was really cute.
Yeah. I don't think I ever brought up the fact that my mom, like, absolutely hates Eileen's hairstyle in this, like, because she knows the actress from other things, and she thinks that she looks really weird.
Oh, I mean, yeah, this is not the best Angelica Houston's ever looked, but, yeah. I mean, it works.
She looks really New Yorker.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. the kind of hairstyle you would expect her to have. Like, she looks kind of like a dark-haired Anna Wintour kind of, like, cold bitch, but with style.
She just really reminds me of an Egyptian, like, but I guess it sort of makes sense for someone who's rich. I don't know.
She looks like an Egyptian, which I guess makes sense for someone who's rich. Okay.
You know, those rich Egyptian women. It makes sense.
Oh, I loved Eileen and Ellis. Like, when she when she is looking through his files and he's just like, do you need something? And she's just like, no. Get out of here. Like, the back and forth between them is very great.
Yeah. I'm really liking the way the Ellis storyline is starting to become much more about his relationship with Eileen.
Yeah.
Like, her as a mentor for him.
Yeah.
I think is actually really cool. And I don't mind Ellis anymore.
Yeah, I don't really mind him either. It was an interesting... I didn't know how to feel after we had that scene where the guy, like, overhears that he's been using him. Mm-hmm. I was like, I almost feel bad for Ellis, but I really shouldn't feel bad for Ellis in this situation.
Exactly.
But...
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, that's so awkward.
Yeah.
Things make me sad.
That was a very interesting storyline. I enjoyed that. All right, let's talk about Tom and Sam, which is probably my favorite part. First of all, like, Tom being like super aggressive was really interesting, but and then Sam, I just thought that was very. I mean, Sam challenging
him. They are so cute.
They are perfect.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I almost, but I'm not going to. I almost feel like. Sorry, my headset just fell off. I almost want to say that Sam was a little bit too much, just like saying things you wouldn't necessarily actually say, but it worked. Like.
Well, like what?
I don't know. I feel like people aren't necessarily that like, for like not like, saying what they're thinking all the time. You know. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I feel like people do that more often than we see on television. Like,
I agree.
Usually people are like, oh no, like, over dramatic. I can't tell you this because it's dramatic.
Mm.
And I mean, he was just like, sorry, bro, I'm Christian. Like,
yeah.
I mean, and that was like,
oh no, I'm not talking about the Christian. I'm talking more about the, like, oh, you, how long has your relationship been? Yeah, clearly you have issues. Blah, like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I felt like it was refreshing to just.
Yeah.
This show is constantly surprising me with how honest the characters are, and not in a bad way. Like, I feel like it's good for television.
Yeah.
To have characters say what they feel.
Okay. Interesting. It was just very. It adds an interesting layer to the relationship, and I did like how I did like Julia and Tom talking about it. I thought that worked well too. Do we have more you want to say about that besides it was good?
Also, Taylor and I I was watching it. I waited till today to watch it so that it would be fresh in my mind, and Taylor was rewatching it with me today. You're both like so glad that it was on TV. You know, that like we've progressed as a society to the point where they can show a gay relationship on TV that's not about them being gay.
Yeah.
And it's about them just being in a relationship and the network wasn't, you know, not letting them have a real kiss on screen, and it was just really good.
Yeah, this really does, I mean, this does what Glee should be doing, which is just, they're not making a huge deal about them being gay, it's just showing them, it's just a given that they're gay, you know, like, and they're just having a relationship, and they're having normal relationship issues, as opposed to, oh my god, we're gay, like...
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything like this on TV, like outside of the show Buffy, which we all watch. I don't know if the viewers do, but
well, you should.
Yeah, that's probably the only other time I've seen a relationship, like a gay relationship, that was, if not healthy, at least normal, and not about the sort of like, oh man, we're being edgy.
Yeah. I also think that Game of Thrones has been handling homosexuality quite well recently.
Me too.
Yeah, it's a good show. I was recently awakened to like remembering how homophobic people can be, because I was reading comments about that and people were like freaking out about the homosexuality, and I guess like it didn't even bat an eyelash when it happened. People were like, "Oh my god, you have to warn me when terrible things like that are going to happen." And I was like, "God, seriously." it was very, very well done. I don't know. I mean, do we have more you want to say about Julia? She husband was better. I don't know.
Now her husband is the one pissing me off. I don't know. Someone in her storyline is constantly going to be annoying me, but I've just sort of grown past it. Whatever. I think they're handling it well.
Yeah.
I just sort of don't care so much, but I think that's partly because this episode didn't focus on her.
Yeah. I also think Leo was handled well in this episode.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, are we getting into songs already? And there's only two of them?
Yeah.
All right.
We know how we feel about that first one.
Yeah, our day will come. I don't even, like, remember what it sounded like. I had, like, does it actually sound reggae? I have no
memory. Sound like Bob Marley.
Okay.
We'll come, do. And.
What did you think of Dig Deep?
It wasn't that interesting. It was actually, that was the most boring song from Bombshell I had heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it.
Think of another song from Bombshell that's not as, that's
oh, from the musical.
Yes.
Yeah, that was probably the worst song in the musical. But, right. Like, definitely far from the worst song on the show.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I didn't enjoy this nearly as much as I usually enjoy the original songs.
Well, okay, my question is, how do you think we're supposed to receive Dig Deep? Do you think we're supposed to be like, oh, she can do it. She is pretty good. It's no big deal. I mean, because to me, it was just like, ugh, we have to sit through more songs by her. I don't want to see any more songs by her.
I mean, I think if, like, Ivy or Karen had done the song, we would like it.
Yeah.
It was just a pretty good song done by someone who's a pretty good singer. And all in all, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just wasn't... I sort of expect one song from Smash, an episode where I'm like, I felt emotion based on that musical performance.
Yeah.
And this episode, I was not left feeling that way. So while, like, dramatically, I thought it was a pretty good episode, and in terms of advancing the storyline, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It just really wasn't up there.
Yeah, I agree.
And no, I
don't know. It was a poor episode to only have two songs too. Because it makes Dig Deep basically the only song, and it's by Rebecca, and she's not that great.
Yeah, so. Where was Ivy?
Yeah, I don't know. I want to give them props for. I feel like their lyrics are very good. I really enjoyed the lyrics they do for a lot of their songs.
Yeah, stuff about the Monroe Doctrine was good.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed the original songs on this show, even if some of them have been sort of spotty here and there. They have to make a lot of them, so.
No, absolutely. Yeah. If this song had been coupled with, like, another really good, like, musically really interesting song,
yeah,
that would have been another thing, because this would have been the one about the lyrics, and there would have been another one that was about the music.
Yeah.
And not this time.
What did you think of her, the way she looked as Marilyn?
Ivy still looks the best.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Uma Thurman, she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they actually all look fine as Marilyn. Ivy's probably the most accurate, but I wouldn't mind if Karen was, because, like, when we saw her in the glittery dress at the beginning, I was like, oh, she looks like Marilyn.
Yeah, I mean, especially, I mean, you also have to remember, if this was on a play as opposed to on screen, it's a lot easier to, like, have them be a little skinny or whatever. Like, if you're far away, you're not going to notice that as much.
Also, if she's not singing Our Day Will Come, she can stop, like, being Marilyn more.
Yeah. All right.
Second time they've had Karen sing a Marilyn song that's not Marilyn. It's in that other weird one that was
dressed as Marilyn and singing a stupid song.
What was the other one she sang weird?
The one that was all Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about, wasn't there some time when, like, Ivy was singing along with a version of Karen dressed up as, or is that just that she saw her after she sang a song?
I don't know.
No, she saw her after.
Yeah, okay.
When she was on the prednisone.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, that was good. All right. So, I mean, I guess that's pretty much everything. We don't have a whole lot to say. So, I mean, I'll mention the blog. It's thesmashpagpodcast.blogspot.com. Please send us reader email, whether you have anything to say. We recently got, like, a not that great rating, and, you know, if I'm cool if you have criticisms, but it'd be much preferable if you sent them to the email so we could like learn what we did wrong and try to make it better, as opposed to just like making our rating go down. So, you know, thesmashpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the episodes, whether you're excited about the finale coming up or what you want to see happen and all that stuff. And then, so my Twitter, which I've been telling people to follow, got hacked the other day. because of things, and I think it's fixed by now. I'm pretty sure it's everything's fine, but you know, maybe I'm not gonna mention it this week, and maybe by next week it'll be complete. I'll be sure that's fine. So if I did, I know that it sent some like random direct messages to people. So if you followed me and I sent you a direct message that made you get hacked, I apologize. So yeah, sorry about that. All right, and then just please rate us, please rate us and review us on iTunes and subscribe to us, and please check out our other podcast, Oral Intensity, a Glee podcast. You know, it's a good time.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like we should try to talk about something for a little bit more.
Angel. I won't. Not again.
Not again. Sarah. I mean we're at like 35 minutes and we talked about random stuff for a while before we started actually doing the podcast. I mean, I guess this could be a really short one.
Let's sing karaoke "Let Me Be Your Star."
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, without lyrics.
Then
on a girl with a hunger for fame, with a face and a name. Remember,
started a little too low.
A song in her heart that will make her feel
smart.
Not how it goes.
But she's gone. She's moving on.
Now you don't need fade out music.
The next thing is her the smile in her.
Tell me. The thrill and the drive keeps
her hunger alive. No.
Oh boy.
That's all I know.
Good job.
Don't rate that, please.
Yeah. All right. So thank you for listening. We'll have, I mean, you know, if you guys sent us lots of listener feedback, we'll have a longer episode next time. So, you know, send us more listener feedback. thesmashpodcast@gmail.com. All right. I guess that's it. So thank you for listening and have a nice day.
We love you. Bye.
Bye. Let me be your star.
Let me be your star. Oh, I thought you were going to go
off. I'm officially not putting outro music.
You go low. Let me be your star.